Amen. Go ahead and please be seated. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. Hope you're having a great weekend so far. Whether you enjoy the heat or not, if you enjoy it, I hope you're enjoying it. If you're not too fond of the cold, I hope you're enjoying your air-conditioned apartment or wherever you're living, but hopefully you're having a great weekend, whatever you're doing. Our son Eric caught something, so he's not here with us. He's at home sick. Not by himself, he's with Karen. Hopefully he'll be feeling much better in the next few days. I want to welcome stranger to us. Jamila is with us. Great to have you with us here. Of course, Jamila was a long-standing member of the Ottawa Church and moved to do her schooling and find love, but she moved. She is definitely great to have you with us here for the next week here. Also want to welcome a brother from the Philadelphia Church. Alex is visiting with us. Glad to have him with us here. He was here last weekend for the long weekend. Also, he's here this weekend. Jumped in his car, drove seven whatever plus hours from Philly yesterday, and will, I guess, have traveled back today. And all that because he's going to see his wife, Christy, get baptized here later on today. So definitely worth the travel, whether it's 10 hours, 12 hours, 20 hours, to see your wife get baptized is a very exciting time, as we're all going to be able to rejoice with the two of you in just a matter of minutes. Today we're going to continue our timer together. Of course, Danny Briswell from the Montreal Church preached last week with his Ottawa Saints jersey, preached on the vision of Jesus. And of course, if you've been coming out to church or if you're a member of the congregation, we've been looking at the character of Jesus. Of course, because the theme of our year is epic, everyday people imitating Christ. If you're a disciple and you've forgotten it, I thought I'd throw that in just to remind you, we are everyday people imitating Christ. So epic is an acronym. Hopefully that we'll see exciting things, as we'll see someone get baptized here, and many more exciting things throughout the rest of this year. And so today we're going to continue on another aspect of the character of Jesus. Of course, we've talked about the patience of Jesus. We've talked about the vision of Jesus, the humility of Jesus, and so much more. Today we're going to talk about the obedience of Jesus. The obedience of Jesus. But before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we are so grateful to be able to be here this morning. Father, that we can be able to enjoy life. And that, Father, we're able to wake up this morning and be able to come here this morning with friends and family to be able to worship you. Father, I do pray that as we continue our time together, Father, we'll put off any kinds of distractions in our hearts and our minds. And Father, we'll be able to focus on you here today. Father, as we look at your Son, Jesus Christ, and look at his character, Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak to each and every one of us. Father, really working in our hearts. Father, allowing us to see the things we need to change in our hearts so that, Father, we can imitate your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, please give us the strength to be able to do so. Father, we are weak, we are powerless, but Father, we know that through your Spirit that lives inside of us, Father, we can be able to strive to become more and more like Jesus. Father, please bless this time as we study your word. Father, I pray that your Spirit will work powerfully through me as we talk about how your Son was obedient even until death. Father, we thank you. Please bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I saw a car advertisement for dog obedience school. And of course on it said, we train dogs, not husbands and children. Really, they're really trying to pull in all different kinds of people to be able to help them gauge as to what their goal is. Of course, it's very difficult, again, to train husbands and children. But something we can learn from dog obedience school It says a normal person will see a dog happily wagging his tail and sees the affection as true and deep. A dog trainer knows that the outward show is not enough. The real test of real love takes place when the dog has got the opportunity to go out on its own as soon as the door is left open by mistake, and it goes off and often doesn't return home for hours. The dog loves its own home and comforts and the attention it gets from its family. It truly doesn't love the master. True love indulges in the parents when a door is left open and the dog still stays happily within an earshot of its owner. For the owner must be the be-all and end-all of all the dog's life. Then it says the real test of our Christianity isn't seen in our work, isn't seen in our activity, or even in our theology. It is found in this. When we have an opportunity to wander away, to disobey, to leave his presence, do we choose instead to stay close to him, to abide in Christ, and to obey? You know, you think about that. If you've ever had a dog, I had a dog, and unfortunately, the dog died many, 20 some odd years ago. And I guess from that, the dog didn't love us too much. But we left the door open and we had to go looking around the city and going here to try to find the dog, because I tell you, the dog did not come happily coming back. We had to chase the dog down, and we had to go hunt the dog down wherever, but then finally someone found the dog and brought the dog back to us. But I'm not sure how the dog felt about us, but obviously if you have a dog or have had a dog, you know that, again, training dogs, it's a task when they can appear very affectionate, but are they obedient dogs? That's a very different thing. You know, as Christians, you know, life is about choices. And we face many different choices in our life. But what's important in our life, if we call ourselves disciples, is obedience. You know, obedience in the life of a young disciple can sometimes be easier than when we get older. You know, I know someone's asked me that before. They said, well, Howard, you've been a Christian over 20 years. Does it get easier as you become an older Christian? Does it get easier to obey? You know, what I find at times, it becomes harder at times to obey. Because this at times would be contrary to what we might expect. Because initially, as a young disciple, everything is new and exciting. And the cross is fresh on your mind and fresh on your heart. But if we're not careful, though, as we get older, we can lose that zeal and that passion that we had at first. One of the areas that can often get neglected is the area of obedience. But even when we become Christians, one thing that we can do is we can replace worldly actions with new religious actions. Where it's simply just a matter of changing maybe the things that we do. So rather than we change the worldly actions and now we just have religious ones. Where it's very easy to just go with the flow, go through the routine life of Christianity, and we can feel these religious actions replace the necessity of obedience. But this was never God's plan, because he wants us to have a heart of obedience, as we'll see in the life of Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, you know, Dave talked a couple weeks ago, he shared from Philippians chapter 4 Of course, I wasn't here, but I listened to the website when it gets posted on our website. They talked about Philippians chapter 4. And when you look in the book of Philippians, especially Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about rejoice in the Lord always. Wouldn't we all like to rejoice in the Lord always? Not sure what kind of week you've had or what kind of weekend you're having, but I'm sure all of us want to be able to rejoice in the Lord always. In verse 6, you don't need to turn there, it talks about a peace that transcends all understanding. Do we all not want more peace in our lives? Especially a peace that transcends all understanding. That we can have a peace in our lives that it is hard for people to comprehend. That when things around us should be falling apart and things are falling apart around us, they're in turmoil, that it's still possible for us to have a peace that transcends all understanding. Because it comes from God. But also to be content in every situation, in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I do believe that all of us want to rejoice. All of us want, I'm sure, more peace in our lives. And if not more peace, the peace that comes from God. And to be content in every and any situation. We all want it. How to find it is where we go wrong at times. But I do believe all of us want those different things and so much more. When you think about it, how did Paul get there? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, this passage, of course, comes before Philippians chapter 4. And it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and then it goes on to talking about being like-minded, having the same love, being unified, one in spirit and purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition. Consider others better than yourselves. But then it goes on to talking about having the same attitude of Jesus. Having the same attitude of Jesus. In verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Having the same attitude of Jesus. In nature, God did not consider himself equal with God, that he made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, that he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, we see several things when we look at the character of Jesus. As we talk here about the obedience of Jesus, one thing we see is that Jesus had to obey. The world was created through him. Jesus walked on water. Jesus raised the dead. He healed people. But yet Jesus had to obey. Although he was the Son of God, that he was not exempt from obeying his Father. That Jesus was not exempt from obeying his Father. When you read through the Gospels, he received no special favor from his Father in regards to obedience that was expected of him. Now you think about Jesus, and Jesus was tempted like we are. That Jesus could have thought to himself, you know, Jesus left heaven and came to the earth. He emptied himself of equality with God and became a servant. Jesus could have thought to himself, you know what? I left heaven. That should be enough. I emptied myself of God. That should be enough. And I've lived my life serving people, doing all kinds of great things for people. That should be enough. But we don't read about Jesus asking for any kind of special treatment. Because Jesus knew that he had to obey. That for Jesus, disobedience was not an option. But Jesus was not exempt from obeying his Father. You know, one time, and again I mentioned one time, got a speeding ticket as a Christian. And I, of course, I was get a speeding ticket because you're speeding. And I confess that I was speeding. And I was rushing to perform a wedding. Didn't want to be late. And so I was speeding and the cop pulled me over. And I actually thought to myself, and I took care of, you know what? I'll just let him know that I'm going to a wedding. And so I told the police officer, of course, he told me I was speeding. I was like, you know what? I'm a minister for a church. I'm heading off to a wedding. And I was honestly thinking in my heart, the police officer is going to say, you know what? Oh, you're a minister. That's good to know. Why don't you just continue going on? In my heart, I actually thought, you know what? Maybe he'll give me, he'll just give me a break. All he said was, well, here's your ticket. And I left going, you know what? We're all said and done. You know, who am I to say, okay, I'm a minister? Who am I to think that, you know, I should be exempt from speeding, getting a speeding ticket? You know, you think about Jesus. Jesus had so many different reasons. Because sometimes we might think at times we're exempt from certain things that God calls us to. But Jesus was not exempt from obeying his Father. Jesus became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death on a cross. You know, what was it about crosses? Crosses were despised. They were for useless, rebellious slaves. That's what they were for. The death on the cross brought humiliation. And you think about Jesus. Jesus was innocent, but died a humiliating, painful death on the cross. That he lived a life of obedience and died being obedient to his Father. You know, when you think about Jesus, for Jesus it was never this far and no farther. For Jesus it was never only this far, but no farther. Because his heart always stayed obedient to God, even when he was called to do something humiliating and something painful. That Jesus had the humility and obedience that knows no bounds. That Jesus obeyed and died on a cross. You know, Jesus obeyed even when it was difficult. You know, if you turn the Bible to Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26 and verse 39, that Jesus obeyed even when it was difficult. In verse 39 it says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Obedience wasn't easy for Jesus. We see here Jesus was wrestling with his own desires as he faced the will of God in his life. And in this instance, he sees the cross is before him, and yet he struggled to go to the cross, and yet he still died on the cross, even when it was very difficult for him. That his emotions was not the final authority in his life. That Jesus obeyed even when he didn't feel like it. You know, you think about how easy it is sometimes for us when we find something difficult to say, you know what, I'll obey the easy things, but not the difficult things. Where we can be very selective in our obedience. And we can serve and do this, do that, but when it comes to the real difficult things that even may push us to our knees, like it pushed Jesus to his knees. Many times we'll say, you know what? Only this far, but no farther. You know, Jesus also had to learn obedience. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus had to learn obedience. You know, sometimes we might think obedience for Jesus was autopilot. But we see that Jesus had to learn obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Says, although he was the son, he had to learn obedience. That Jesus had to learn obedience. That he was not born with the natural ability to obey. That he was like us, and that he had to be taught how to obey. And what was his teacher? Suffering. Suffering was his teacher. That suffering was his teacher. That he had to learn to obey through suffering. You know, what is it about suffering? When you think about any kind of suffering that you endure in your life, you think about any painful challenge that you endure in your life, and you think about when you are feeling the emotion of it, what comes to your mind? I'll tell you what comes to my mind is that, you know what? If I'm suffering and if I'm going through a difficult time, then you know what? I am given kind of a reason not to obey. Isn't that true? When we face suffering, we face difficulty, we go, you know what? Well, I'm discouraged, so I can't obey. I'm going through suffering, so I can't obey. And so we come to, at times, crossroads when we are going through any kind of suffering. But it takes suffering to a new level. When we can feel whatever pain that we feel and still choose to obey. And that is what Jesus learned, obedience through suffering. Of course, Jesus obeyed through his life. But when it came to going and dying on the cross, and the weight of emotion he felt in his heart, there was a new level of obedience that he learned, that suffering taught him. You know, isn't that challenging to think about when we go through suffering? How it's like, you know what, people will understand. God will understand. And although people will have compassion for us, Jesus had to learn obedience, and he was still obedient, regardless of what was going on around his life. You know, this someone quoted and said, maybe that's why we're not good at obeying. Because we don't view suffering as a teacher to help us to become more perfect. Is that true? We don't view suffering as a teacher. Any kind of suffering, we will do whatever we can to run away from it. But if we look at suffering as a teacher, that suffering can teach me something, like it taught Jesus, and still to continue to obey. You know, if you think about it, Jesus had to learn to obey. Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering. And guess what? We need to learn obedience as well. And God may choose suffering. God may choose so many other areas in order for us to learn obedience. But in Matthew chapter 28, we do see that God does use people. In Matthew chapter 28, we do see that God uses people. Matthew 28 and verse 18. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know, Jesus gave the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, as we'll see someone get baptized in a matter of minutes. It says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and in verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Teaching them everything I've commanded you. You know, obedience is not a natural response, but it's a trained one. And Jesus expects all his disciples to be taught by others' disciples how to obey. Then we need people helping us and teaching us to obey. Because you know why? Because whether we face suffering, whether we face other things in our life, you know what happens? We lose all kinds of objectivity. And we, to ourselves, because if obedience is not natural, what is natural? Disobedience. And we will naturally lean towards, oh, you know what? It's too hard. It's too hard to do this or too hard to do that. When we have some objectivity, people can offer us advice and counsel as to how to obey in those difficult circumstances. You know, you think about if you're a spouse and you're called to be a certain way to your spouse. If you're a husband, you're called to love your wife. You're called to respect your wife. If you're a wife, you're called to love and respect your husband. But at times, there's times when you may not want to show love or respect to your spouse. based on how they might be treating you. But when we are around people, they give us perspective and point us to Jesus. Because at times we won't see Jesus, we'll see our spouse, we'll see our kids, we'll see whatever it is around us, but naturally we're not going to look and see Jesus. We need people to point us to Jesus and to teach us how to obey in that circumstance. You know, someone said you've not really learned a commandment until you have obeyed it. And they said the church suffers today from Christians who know volumes more than they practice. You know, Jesus had to learn obedience, and we too, as disciples, need to learn obedience. Jesus expects obedience. That Jesus expects obedience of each and every one of his followers. You know, Jesus, as I mentioned, he created the world. The world was created through him. Jesus walked on water. Jesus raised the dead. But yet Jesus humbled himself and he obeyed. And of course he calls his followers to obey as well. You know, you think about just in life. Sometimes when I struggle with pride to obey, I'm going to ask myself when I look at Jesus, you know, what have I done in comparison to Jesus to be prideful about? I've never walked on water. Can't even swim. I can't raise the dead. I can't heal anybody. But yet Jesus, having done all these things, he humbled himself. But sometimes, in our own pride, we go, you know what, well, that's Jesus, not me. Well, if anything, if Jesus humbled himself and think about all that he did, we should say, you know what, I should humble myself and obey. John 14, Jesus expects obedience. John 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Verse 23, what did it say? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. You know, I think that scripture is pretty straightforward. We can, again, if we had a Greek text, we can look at a Greek text. We could, we can give Douglas Jacoby a phone call. But straightforward, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Jesus says very clearly, he sees love as obedience. That Jesus sees love as obedience. For a person to say, you know what? I love Jesus. And then not obey him would be a contradiction. Because to love Jesus is to obey Jesus. That's how we demonstrate our love to him, by obeying him. Jesus says, if you will not obey me, then you don't love me. You know, two short verses can be very convicting. But it's very straightforward. Jesus said, you know, if you don't obey my commands, don't say that you love me. Because you don't. You know, my question to each and every disciple here this morning is, do we love Jesus? Do we obey Jesus? If we love Jesus, it must go beyond words. It must go beyond feelings. Because we could feel in our hearts, you know, well, whenever I think about Him, I get these feelings inside. To love Jesus is to obey Jesus. You know, sometimes we might say, well, Jesus, I love You, and I will obey You when it's convenient. You know, Jesus, I love You, I'll obey You, except when I don't feel like it. You know, Jesus, I love You, I'll obey You, except when it's uncomfortable. Jesus, I love You, I'll obey You, except when there are unfavorable consequences involved. You know, we might say, you know, Jesus, I'll love You, but hey, when I go talk to my friends, when my friends show me rejection, when people reject me as I share my faith, when people do this or do that, then you know what? I'm no longer going to obey You. Sometimes we might even think, Jesus, I'll love You, obey You, except when I don't agree with You. Or if it costs me too much. You know, sometimes, subconsciously, we draw lines. We set limitations. As to, you know what, Jesus, I'll obey You only this much. But we must understand what we're saying. Well, Jesus, I will only love You this much. You know, what does Jesus expect of you in your life? When you think about the commands that Jesus is expecting of you, what is Jesus calling to you here this morning? You know, maybe it's an area of serving. Maybe it's an area of living a more pure life. Maybe it's an area of so many other things. Maybe it's an area of loving someone unconditionally, someone who doesn't love you back. But Jesus expects us to obey. And that is how we demonstrate our love to Jesus. Because so many times we could, again, do the right things, but Jesus expects us to show our love through obedience. Our love and obedience should never be dependent on what others are doing or what others are not doing. Because sometimes we might have our obedience be based on, you know what, well, I'll serve if I see someone else serving. I'll share my faith if I see someone else sharing their faith. I'll go be involved in the poor if I see someone else being involved in the poor. But we miss the whole point that Jesus and our relationship with Him, it is not about that person who is not sharing their faith, not praying, not doing all those things. It is about our love for Jesus. Because I will love my wife and I love my son regardless of whether or not a husband or a father will love their son or daughter, love their son or their spouse. You as a parent, you as a spouse, you'll love your family. You're not going to look at someone and go, wow, that father down the street who doesn't love his family, you know, I'm not going to love my family then. We think that's absolutely absurd. But we do that at times in our lives as Christians, where we allow our obedience to be dependent on what others are doing or not doing. Last but not least, Jesus blesses obedience. We don't have time to turn there, but in John chapter 8, it says to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus says, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus blesses obedience. Obedience unlocks the door to spiritual truth. Obedience unlocks the door to spiritual truth. Jesus said, you hold to My teachings, then you will know the truth. You'll know the truth by holding to His teachings. You know, when we choose to obey, When Jesus died on the cross, God exalted him. You know, when we choose to obey, God blesses our obedience. God blesses our obedience with understanding. He blesses our obedience by revealing more and more truth to us. But sometimes we don't receive more and more truth because we don't obey what we're called to obey. Because sometimes there's certain things that we will not understand until we obey. That whether we can read it, we can study it, but when we obey it, then we see the truth. But so many times we can miss out on the truth by studying it, analyzing it, discussing it, rather than simply obeying it. Obedience unlocks the door to spiritual truths. You know, as we can begin to wrap up here, you know, what is your view of obedience? Do you believe that obedience is necessary in your life? You know, Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience. And as disciples, we must live lives of obedience as well. Jesus made a choice to obey. He faced so many different things that we don't face in our lives in terms of the weight of going to the cross. But yet he still obeyed. But he made a choice to obey. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And Jesus obeyed when it was difficult. Jesus had to learn obedience as we need to learn obedience. And Jesus calls every disciple of Jesus to a life of obedience. As we conclude, I'd like to read a story. A lady by the name of Aretha Loving, a missionary, was washing her breakfast dishes when she saw little Jimmy, the 5-year-old neighbor, headed straight toward the back porch. She had just finished painting the back porch handrails, and she was proud of all her work. "Come around the front door, Jimmy," she shouted. "There's wet paint on the porch rails." "I'll be careful," Jimmy replied, not turning from his path. "No, Jimmy, don't come up the steps," Aretha shouted, knowing of Jimmy's tendency to mess things up. "I'll be careful," he said again, now dangerously close to the steps. Jimmy stopped. Aretha shouted, "I don't want carefulness. I want obedience." As the words burst from her mouth, she suddenly remembered Samuel's response to King Saul. "To obey is better than sacrifice." How would Jimmy respond? Aretha wondered. To her relief, he shouted back, "All right, Mrs. Loving, I'll go around the front door." He was the only one who called her by her last name like that, and it had endeared him to her from the beginning. As he turned around the house, Aretha thought to herself, "How often am I like Saul or like Jimmy, wanting to go my own way? I rationalize, 'I'll be careful, Lord,' as I proceed with my own plans." You know, let us not, in our lives as Christians, let us never rationalize, justify, or decide to go our own way. But instead, let us live a life of obedience as we imitate the obedience of Christ. Amen.